R.I.P. Leah Burke. She died of acute awkwardosis. I need a distraction. God knows TV isn't enough. I pull up some random fanfic on my phone, and then I take it down the hall. I can't read Dreary in the living room, even when my mom's not home. Dreary belongs in my bedroom. I don't care if that sounds dirty. But I can't focus. It isn't the fic's fault. It's well written, and Draco has some bite to him, which is refreshing. I hate when writers make Draco sweet. Sorry, but Draco's a bitch. Own it. I mean, yeah, he's a ball of mush underneath, but you have to earn it with him. I guess that speaks to me somehow. But the distraction's not working, so I shut it down. I stick my phone into its charger and then wiggle it around for a minute to trick it into actually charging. My phone's a piece of shit. I crank up Spotify and log onto my art Tumblr, scrolling through my archives. I should upload something new, or even one of my more decent older pieces. I have a whole bunch I photographed and saved on my phone. All my ships, straight up kissing, Inej and Nina, Persebeth, a few original characters, plus a few random portraits of my friends. Not that I ever plan on showing those to anyone. I did that once. Huge fucking mistake. I scroll quickly past them, landing instead on a pencil sketch of Bellatrix Lestrange. It's not the most polished thing I've drawn, but I sort of love her facial expression. And I don't mind it being a little sloppy, since my Tumblr page is anonymous. If people think I'm a shitty artist, so be it. At least they don't know I'm me. 5. Morgan's not at school on Friday, and she's not replying to my texts. That's sort of weird, right? I say to Anna at lunch. We're the first two at the table. Is something up with her? With Morgan? She bites her lip. I have the distinct impression that she's avoiding my eyes. What, is she mad at me or something? No, it's not that, Anna pauses. I think she's processing things. What are you talking about? She looks up at me, finally. She didn't tell you? She's not returning my texts, so... Yeah, Anna leans back in her chair. Well, she heard from Georgia last night. The school? Anna nods, and something in her expression makes my heart sink. She didn't get in. I say quietly. Nope. Was she waitlisted? No. You're kidding me. Anna shakes her head. But she's a legacy. I know. She must be devastated. I blink. How could she not get in? I don't know. It's messed up. Anna sighs and tugs the ends of her hair. Maybe her SAT scores? I know she retook it a few times. I feel so awful. I think she's in shock, and her parents just lost it. Like, they're calling the school, withdrawing their donations. I don't even know. Jesus. I'm going over there after school, Anna says. I nod. I'll go with you. Yeah. She pauses. I don't know if that's... She doesn't want to see me? Anna doesn't respond. I flush. Did she say that? She shrugs. I don't know. I'm so sorry, Leah. Ugh, this is so awkward. Whatever, it's fine. I stand abruptly. I'm gonna eat in the courtyard. She's just upset right now. You can't take this personally. Okay, I hate when people say that. You can't take this personally. It's not personal, Leah. Morgan's skipping school to avoid me, but it's totally not personal. God. I know I should be sympathetic, and I know I'm a jerk, but it just hurts. Leah, it's not about you. She's just disappointed, Anna says. And probably embarrassed. I know that. It comes out louder than I mean it to, and a couple of freshmen turn to stare at us. I lower my voice. I know it's not about me. Well, good. It's not. I just want to be there for her, you know? I want to make it better. Anna leans forward. Yeah, I just don't think you can make it better. You know? It's obviously not your fault that you got in and she didn't. And she knows that, but it's still going to feel like you're rubbing it in her face. I'm not going to rub it in her face. I know you're not, Anna says slowly. Not intentionally. But don't you see how it would feel like that? My cheeks burn. It's fine. I'll give her space. Anna taps her toe against mine. I know you're worried about her. I'll make sure she's okay. I shrug. Do whatever you want. So, now everything's off kilter. I feel heartless not texting Morgan, though Anna made it pretty clear that I shouldn't. But all through class, I can't stop picturing Morgan holed up in her house, surrounded by pictures of bulldogs, red and black everywhere. She must be losing her mind. I think I know how she's feeling. I mean, I've never been rejected from a school, but I know what it's like to not be good enough in some bone-deep, fundamental way. Not that I'm making this about me. For example, I haven't given a shred of attention to the upcoming campus tour, and whether Abby might still want to go with me. Leah, Simon hisses, poking me. I snap back to earth. Ms. Livingstone is giving me a look. I assume you're deep in thought about the French Revolution, Ms. Burke. Care to weigh in? My cheeks burn. Yes, Oh, God. Ms. Livingstone can smell the bullshit. Why, yes, I'd like to weigh in about the French Revolution. Not about road tripping to Athens with Abby Suso. Not that I'm considering road tripping to Athens with Abby Suso. Thomas Jefferson helped the Marquis de Lafayette draft a declaration. Simon blurts. Mr. Spear, memorizing the Hamilton soundtrack is not going to save you on the AP Euro exam. A bunch of people snicker. Ms. Livingstone shakes her head and calls on someone else. So I kick Simon's foot, and when he looks up, I smile. Thanks. No prob, he smiles back. 6. So, let's talk love, actually, Bram says, leaning toward me. Garrett's finally out of earshot, scoping out the dessert counter. Which is actually the only counter, because we're at Henry's, and Henry's is a bakery. Sorry, but cupcakes are a dinner food. Fight me. I glance back to make sure Garrett's fully absorbed in pastries and iced donuts before turning back to Bram. Okay, so Simon may kill me for telling you this. Of course, he's very secretive, Bram says, and we grin at each other. Simon Spear may be the least secretive person on the planet. Anyway, I didn't know about this until last year, but apparently... I pause to bite into my cupcake. Apparently, our very own Simon Spear has written a single work of Love Actually fan fiction. Bram's eyes light up. Okay. And I have reason to believe it's on fanfiction.net. Are you serious? He presses his fist to his mouth. But he won't tell us his pen name. I bet we can figure it out. Bram's already pulling his phone out. Fanfiction.org? .net. Okay. He's quiet for a moment, scrolling. I think there are like 100 stories in the whole fandom. Abby and I were able to narrow it down to 15 possibilities. Oh, so you've already been working on this. I tried for weeks, Bram. Weeks. Junior year, right after Abby moved here. We were all spending the night at Morgan's, and her mom had exiled the boys to the guest room after an illuminating game of Truth or Dare. Morgan and Anna fell asleep pretty quickly, but Abby scooted all her blankets next to mine on the floor, on our stomachs, side by side. Leah, we have to find it, she whispered. She was still a little tipsy from Truth or Dare, and I was somehow tipsy by association. I had the full list of Love Actually stories pulled up on my phone. Do we start at the top? Or we could start with the Keira Knightley self-insert sex erotica, said Abby. I giggled. Sex erotica? Yes. As opposed to sex-free erotica? I mean, I'd read that too, she said. Okay, this one. And so we started. Right away we could rule out a few grammatical shitstorms, along with anything that seemed too technically knowledgeable about sex. There's no way, I'd insisted. I guarantee you, I would literally bet you $1 million that Simon Spear has never heard of the perineum. I concur, Abby said, tapping the back arrow. I've always thought that was such an intimate thing to do, touching the screen of another person's phone. She opened the next story. It was weird. Once we knew Simon had written one of them, it started to feel like he could have written any of them, or all of them, under 90 different pen names. Maybe all those times he said he was checking his email, he was actually writing sex erotica. Then she shifted slightly under her blankets, and her whole body pressed against mine. My right side to her left. and I forgot how to speak. "It's this one," Bram says, jolting me back to the present. He slides his phone toward me on the table. "No, you did not just find Simon Spear's secret fanfiction in 5 minutes. "I did," he smiles. "I'm 100% sure." I read it aloud. "All I Want for Christmas Is You, by You Won't But You Might." How do you know this is him? Well, first of all, the pen name. I don't get it. Bram leans forward on his elbows. "You Won't But You Might. It's an Elliott Smith lyric. That's the first giveaway." I tilt Bram's phone closer, reading the summary. "Sam / Joaquin, semi-original character." Okay. Read the rest of the summary. "Original male character based closely on Joanna. Just a fluffy male/male retelling of the school concert scene. Smiley face." I look up at Bram, grinning. Oh my god, Simon was such a sweet baby gay, writing the gayest fanfiction. I love it. Bram smiles. It's perfect. How did Abby and I miss this? Did you even know he was gay back then? No. Okay, wow. That was even before the whole Martin thing. I guess we weren't looking for the gayest fic in the bunch. This isn't even the gayest, Bram says. "Ladies and gentle dudes, I'm back," Garrett announces, and we both look up with a start. Garrett slides into his seat, setting a cardboard cake box on the table in front of us. "Check it out." Bram nudges the box open, revealing an extravagantly decorated buttercream cake with polka dots and rosette flowers, and a message, carefully piped onto the center. "Eisner Spear. You bought Simon and Nick a cake," Bram asks slowly. "Fuck yeah, I love those dudes." "Well done, Garrett," I say. "Thank you, Burke, I appreciate that." "So, no congratulations or anything? Just like, their names?" "Yeah, but look at the R," Garrett says, glancing back and forth between Bram and me. "That's badass, right? Totally my idea." "It's very badass," I assure him. Bram just raises his eyebrows and smiles. Add this to the list of things I'm never doing again. Sitting in the front row of a play. Eye contact. So much eye contact. Simon once said that when the stage lights are on, the audience looks like a giant dark blob. But maybe the front row is the exception. Because I swear Taylor just spent 45 minutes gazing directly into my face. But the show was amazing, even with Martin Addison back in commission. Or maybe it's because Martin was back in commission, as much as it kills me to admit that. I hate when assholes have talent. I want to live in a world where good people rule at everything and shitty people suck at everything. In short, I want Martin Addison's voice to crack like an earthquake. After a curtain call, we linger in the lobby, waiting for the actors to come out. Garrett sidles up to me, holding the cake box, his blonde hair winging out from under a baseball cap. "So, Eisner can really sing, huh?" I feel strangely shy. "Yeah." There are hordes of parents out here, holding flowers. I spot Simon's family near the dramaturgy display, doubled up on bouquets. "Alice is here?" I say to Bram. He nods. "It's her spring break." Alice Spear is exactly who I want to be when I'm in college. She is nerd cute perfection. Effortlessly smart, hipster glasses, and zero tolerance for Simon and Nora's bullshit. I may have had a low-key crush on her in sixth grade, until I fell hard for her adorable, dumbass little brother. "So, Burke," Garrett nudges me. "I'm guessing you need a ride home?" "Oh, I guess." "Cool," he nods. "I've got you covered." I feel awkward all of a sudden, heavy-limbed and tongue-tied. "Thanks," I manage. Yesterday it was Garrett's sweatshirt. Today he's giving me a ride home. It's like the universe is trying to make him my boyfriend, which is messed up. Even if a tiny weird part of me wonders what it would be like to kiss him. It probably wouldn't be awful. Technically, he's cute. He has very blue eyes. And everyone thinks athletes are hot. Is Garrett hot? He could be. Though the idea of objective hotness fucks me up a little. The idea that certain arrangements of facial features are automatically superior It's like someone woke up one day with a boner for big-eyed, soft-lipped, tight-bodied cheekbone people, and we all just decided to go along with that. The doors to the back hallway swing open, and the cast and crew start to trickle into the lobby. But Garrett rests his hand on my arm. Okay, what does the average University of Georgia student get on the SAT? Garrett asks. I don't know. Drool. Ha ha. He pokes my arm. You're smiling. I snort and look away, my eyes drifting toward the Spears. Nick's parents are there too. Abby's mom is chatting with them while her dad and brother check their phones. And even though I've never met Abby's dad, there's no question. He's a middle-aged male version of Abby, eyelashes and all, which is super disorienting. I turn quickly away and my eyes fall on Mom. Mom, as in my mom, dressed in work clothes and looking slightly out of place. I had no idea she was coming. I guess she snuck in through the back. She's standing a few feet away from the other adults. To be honest, she's always been weird around my friend's parents. Maybe because she's the youngest by over a decade. I think she's paranoid that they secretly disapprove of her. She shoots me an awkward wave, and I start walking toward her, but I'm intercepted by Alice Spear. Leah, I love your boots. I look down and shrug, smiling. How long are you in town? I ask. Not much longer. I'm actually driving up, so I'm leaving tomorrow and picking up my boyfriend in New Jersey. She checks her watch. Okay, Simon, where are you? He just texted me. They're coming out now, Bram says. Moments later, Simon, Nick, and Abby slip in through the side door, out of costume but still in makeup. For once, Nick and Abby aren't holding hands. Actually, Abby's holding Simon's hand, with Nick trailing behind them. People keep stopping him to talk, and every single time he looks sheepish and uncomfortable. Nick Eisner is truly an awkward cinnamon roll of a leading man. Simon spots the cake box immediately. Is this cake? You got me a cake? Garrett nods and starts to pop the box open, but Simon's beaming too hard at Bram to notice. Actually, Bram starts to say, but Simon kisses him on the cheek before he can get the word out. Dude, it's from me. Where's my kiss? Garrett says. I look at him. Wow. Okay, Burke. He grins and digs for his keys. You ready to roll? I point out my mom, and Garrett's entire face falls. I guess you don't need a ride anymore. I guess not. He lingers, holding his car keys, and he doesn't say a word for what feels like an hour. I sense my mom watching us with interest. So, I say finally. Right. Hey, he clears his throat. So, I was wondering, do you want to come to the game tomorrow? The game? I glance at him. Have you ever seen us play? I nod. It's funny, soccer's the one Creekwood sport I've actually watched. I even used to enjoy it back in sophomore year when I had a crush on Nick, and it wasn't just about staring at his ass. It was weird. I started caring about the game, to the point that Simon used to call me an undercover jock. It's against North Creek, Garrett adds. It should be a pretty sweet game. I glance back over my shoulder. I really don't want to talk to Garrett in front of my mom right now. He's still talking. I'm sure you're busy, though. That's totally cool. You're probably going to the Saturday matinee of the play, right? Seriously, no worries. No, I'll come, I say quickly. He looks startled. To the game? Yeah. Oh, okay, sweet. He grins and my stomach twists weakly. So, what was that about? Mom asks, voice lilting as we walk to the car. Even in the darkness, I can see that she's smiling. Nothing. Nothing? Are we sure? Mom, stop. I sink into the passenger seat, turning quickly toward the window. For a moment, we're both quiet. The parking lot is clogged with traffic and pedestrians, and Mom drums her hands on the steering wheel. That was such an awesome play. I grin. It was the Blizz. I still can't believe Nick's voice. And you know who's adorable? Who? Abby Suso. I almost choke. That girl is pure charisma, Mom barrels on. And she just seems like a total sweetheart. Like, I'd honestly love to see you with someone like her. Mom, you don't think she's cute? She's Nick's girlfriend. I know that. I'm just saying, hypothetically, I'm not talking about this. Mom raises her eyebrows. Oh, hey. Her tone is suddenly cautious. Question for you. Okay. So, Wells's birthday is tomorrow? Is that the question? No. Mom laughs. Okay. So, I was thinking the three of us could grab brunch together. He has a golf thing in the afternoon, so maybe late morning. I gape at her. Birthday brunch. With Mom's boyfriend. I don't know, maybe this is normal for some families, but Mom never makes me get brunch with the boyfriends. And yet, here she is, just casually presenting it as if it's just another fun family Saturday. With Wells, of all people. I'm going to Bram and Garrett's soccer game, so... I shrug. Sorry. I stare out the window, eyes tracing the curve of the sidewalk. There's hardly anyone on the road tonight. You wouldn't think that would make a car feel smaller, but it does. And even though we aren't looking at each other, I feel Mom's eyes on me. I wish you'd give him a shot. Who, Garrett? I ask, my voice jumping half an octave. Wells. My face burns. Oh. I glance at Mom, who's sitting rigidly straight, chewing on her lip. She looks vaguely distraught. I don't entirely know what to make of it. She sighs. Okay, what if... I'm not getting brunch with your boyfriend. Leah, don't be like this. Don't be like what? I narrow my eyes. How are we at the family brunch stage? You've been dating him for, what, 3 months? 6 months. Okay, you've literally been dating him for a shorter time than Simon and Bram. I know people who had longer relationships than that in middle school. Simon and Anna dated longer than that. Mom shakes her head slowly. You know, you'd never talk to one of your friends the way you talk to me. Can you imagine if you went up to Simon and said stuff like this about Bram? Okay, that's... You wouldn't. You would never do that. So why do you think it's okay to talk like that to me? I roll my eyes so hard my eyebrows hurt. Oh, okay, now you're going to make this about Simon and Bram? You're the one who brought them up. Yeah, well, I throw my hands up. Simon and Bram are actually legit. They're literally so in love. How could you even compare that to Wells? You know what? Just stop talking, she snaps. For a minute, it throws me. My mom's normally so mellow. I sputter. Yeah, well, no. Just stop. Okay? I don't want to hear it. For a minute, it's silent. Then Mom turns on NPR and pulls onto Roswell Road. I lean back against the headrest and tilt my head toward the window. Then I squeeze my eyes shut. 7. I wake up to a blast of overhead lights. Mom pries the pillow off my face. What day is it? I mumble. Saturday. Come on. Wells is on his way. What? I sit up straight, pillow sliding to the floor. I said no to that. I know. But I looked up the soccer schedule, and we'll be back by then anyway. Wells has tea time at 2. What the fuck is tea time? I rub my face and tuck my phone out of the charger. It's not even 10 a.m. Mom sits on the edge of my bed, and I tuck my legs up instantly, hugging them. I'm not going, I tell her. Leah, this isn't a question. I want you to do this. It would mean a lot to him. I don't care. Well, it would mean a lot to me, too. I glare up at her. She puts her hands up. Look, okay, I don't know what to tell you. He's coming over. It's his birthday, and I already made the reservation. So you can start by putting on a bra. I flop backward on my bed, yanking the pillow back over my face. An hour later, I'm tucked into a booth at a steakhouse in Buckhead, next to Mom and across from Wells. A steakhouse. It's not even noon. We put in our drink order, and Wells jumps right into the forced small talk. So, your mom tells me you're in a band. Yep. Nice. I used to play the clarinet. He nods eagerly. Good times, good times. I don't even know how to respond to that. Like, I'm in an actual band, Wells. I'm not saying we're the Beatles, but we're not exactly honking our way through hot cross buns in the school auditorium. Wells is a huge music fan. Mom says, patting his arm. I cringe every time she touches him. What's the name of that singer you like? Mom asks him. The one from American Idol? Oh, you mean Daughtry? Daughtry. I'm not even surprised. But wow, Mom should know better. If she wants me to respect this guy, she should have kept that detail under wraps. Have you heard of Oh Wonder? I ask, even though I know he hasn't. It is physically, chemically impossible for a person who likes Daughtry to have heard of Oh Wonder. But I want to see if he'll admit it. Maybe I'm a dick, but this is how I test people. I never judge someone for not knowing a band. I only judge the ones who try to fake it. No, I haven't. Is that a band or a singer? He pulls out his phone. I'll write that down. Oh, wonder. Two words? So he's honest. I guess that's something. They're a band. Are they anything like Stevie Wonder? I bite back a laugh. Not really. I glance up at Mom and catch her smiling. Confession. I think Stevie Wonder rules. That's probably not cool to admit, but whatever. Apparently, my parents used to play me, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours, on their old-timey CD player, even before I was born. I think my mom read somewhere that I'd be able to hear it in utero, and I guess it worked because I used to sing it around the house and in the grocery store. And even now, that song makes me calm in a way I can't explain. My mom said they picked it because it was the one song she and my dad agreed they'd be willing to listen to over and over, every day for the rest of their lives. The rest of their lives. Look how quickly that blew up in their faces. Just thinking about it hurts in a way I can't quite pinpoint. We split a massive pile of designer tortilla chips with spinach and queso, and everything's sort of okay for a minute. Mom and Wells are talking about work, so I pull out my phone. I've missed a few texts. From Anna. Ugh, so Morgan's really upset. From Garrett. You should totally wear this today. Laughing, crying emoji. He's attached a picture of a girl wearing what appears to be a helmet cut out of a soccer ball, with holes on the sides, and pigtails, through the holes. Obviously happening, I reply. Then I turn back to Anna's text. I guess I'm kind of at a loss. Like, I don't want to be a negligent friend, but I don't know how to help Morgan if I can't even talk to her. I think I hate the concept of needing space. What it really means is that the person's mad at you, or hates you, or doesn't give a shit about you. They just don't want to admit it. Like my dad. That's just how he put it. He needed space for my mom. And now here we are, almost 7 years later, at a steakhouse with fucking Wells. Show her the video where the dog's owner dresses like Gumby. I write finally. Genius, Anna replies. Sweetie, put your phone away, please. We're in a restaurant. Seriously? I point my chin toward Wells. He's literally on his phone right now. Mom narrows her eyes. He's confirming his tea time. Oh, right. So it's like a golf emergency. Leah. I mean, clearly it's so urgent or he wouldn't be, gasp, on his phone in a restaurant. Don't be an asshole, she hisses, leaning toward me. It's his birthday. I shrug and press my lips together like I don't give any shits at all. But there's this tug in my chest. Because birthdays are sort of sacred, and maybe I really am an asshole. I've been thinking of Wells as the interloper, busting in on my mom brunch with his tiny ears and his Daughtry love. But maybe I'm the one crashing the party. Wells ends the call, turns to Mom, and starts babbling about handicaps on the birdie par or some other golfy bullshit. I let my eyes drift shut. I mean, parents sometimes date people. I know this. Moms are technically human beings, and human beings are allowed to have romantic lives. But I have this feeling, suddenly, that I'm on a too-fast treadmill. Like things are moving so quickly, I might slide off the back end. I never imagined I could be bumped out of my own family. I feel knocked down. I feel demoted. And the thought makes me so tired I can barely sit upright. Like, even the thought of walking to the car feels like prepping for a marathon. And it's barely past noon. All I want is to collapse on my bed. Possibly with music. Definitely not with real pants on. I can't go to the game. Not feeling the way I feel right now. I can't deal with Garrett and his try-hard, dude-bro act. Like, we all know you're secretly a dreamy-eyed piano kid, so stop pretending to be a douchebag. And stop messing with my head. Either flirt with me or don't. either be cute or not. I don't know. I don't have the energy for Garrett. That probably makes me a jerk, and I should clearly text him an excuse, but I don't even know what I'd say. Sorry to miss the game, Garrett. Turns out you're confusing and annoying, and I kind of can't deal with your face. I just can't. Not today. Mom asks me, hours later, if I need a ride to the game. I say no. Then I ignore 6 texts in a row, all from Garrett. 8. I destroy things in my dreams. I scream and argue until everyone hates me. Then I wake up in tears from how real it feels. Sunday morning is like that. I sit up in bed, feeling battered and alone, and the first thing I see are those 6 missed texts from Garrett. Hey, you up there somewhere? I don't see you. Yo, are you in the parking lot or something? Where are you? Okay, Greenfeld and I are heading to Wahoo with Spear and everyone. You should come. Oh man, I don't know how I missed you today. I feel bad. Oh well, I hope you enjoyed the game anyway. Next time stick around, okay? LOL. Are you going to the play tomorrow? Holy shit. I'm the worst. Garrett thinks I was there. At the game, in the bleachers, probably wearing a homemade soccer ball helmet. As opposed to moping around my bedroom, ignoring his texts. I'm such a dick. Like, I'm an actual flaccid penis of a person. And now I want to lock myself in my room all over again, but I can't miss the last performance of the play. I'm not that big of an asshole. I don't even mind the idea of hanging out with Garrett, in theory, but I don't want to face him. If there's one thing I hate, it's apologies. I don't like getting them. I really don't like making them. I think it's unavoidable. I dress myself carefully, like I'm going into battle. I feel stronger when I look cute. I zip into my universe dress, the greatest thrift store find of my entire life. It's cotton, blue and black, sprinkled with stars and galaxies across my chest. My boobs are literally out of this world. Then I muss up my hair so it's just a little wavy and spend 20 minutes giving myself flawless winged eyeliner. It makes my eyes look super green in a way that almost catches me off guard. Mom needs the car, so she drops me off at school. I'm early. Early is good. I pick a seat near the front, but I can't stop turning toward the entrance. And every time the auditorium door opens, my heart jumps into my throat. I have this feeling that as soon as Garrett sees me, he'll know I was lying. And then he and the guys will be pissed, and it will be this whole big thing. And our whole friend group will implode. Because of me. There's a tap on my shoulder, and I almost fall out of my seat. But it's just Anna. Can we sit here? We? Morgan's in the bathroom. Another conversation I'm not ready for. Oh, hey, Morgan! Sorry you didn't get into your dream school. Hope it's cool that I'm totally going there. Panic must be written all over my face, because Anna purses her lips. You know she's not mad at you, right? Right. I think she's worried you'll be awkward. I haven't even talked to her. I know, she's just paranoid, it's fine. I'm texting her where we are. But before Anna can hit send, Morgan trails in behind a pack of giggling middle schoolers. She looks miserable. She looks like she just got dumped. She's in sweatpants and glasses, her blue streaked hair scraped back into a messy bun. Anna catches her eye and waves, and she cuts down the aisle and across a row of seats. Hey, she says quietly. How are you doing? My voice sounds so painfully gentle that I cringe. Fine. I'm fine. I nod and Morgan shrugs, and Anna's eyes shift back and forth between us. Sorry about UGA, I say finally. That really sucks. Yeah, she sounds defeated. Sorry, I say again. She sinks into her seat. Whatever. I'm not mad at you or anything. I perch on the edge of the seat beside her. She leans back, covering her face with her hands. It's just... ugh. It's just so unfair. Yeah. Not you. You totally deserve to get in. You're like a genius, but other people... I swallow. I don't know how they make their decisions. Morgan smiles humorlessly. Well, I know how they make some of them. What do you mean? I'm just saying. I'm ranked 11th in the class, and some of the people who did get into Georgia aren't. She shrugs. Beside me, Anna shifts uncomfortably. I blink. You think someone lied on their application? I think I'm white, Morgan replies. The whole world seems to stop. The blood rushes to my cheeks. Are you talking about Abby? I say quietly. Morgan shrugs. My mouth falls open. I can't believe you. Well, sorry. Her cheeks flush. That's really fucking gross, Morgan. Oh, so you're sticking up for Abby now. Awesome. I lean forward, chest tight. I'm not sticking up for anyone. You're being racist. I can't believe this. And coming from Morgan. Morgan, who read All American Boys 3 times and drove all the way to Decatur to get it signed. Morgan, who once shouted down a stranger in a grocery store for wearing a Trump hat. I'm being honest, says Morgan. No, I'm pretty sure you're being racist. Who's racist? Garrett asks, sidling up. I glance up at him and Bram's there too. Morgan sinks into her seat, like she's trying to disappear. I stare her down. Well, according to Morgan, Abby only got into Georgia because she's black. Bram winces. Morgan's face is blotchy red. That's not what I meant. She grips the armrest, eyes flashing. Well, you said it. I stand, abruptly, my jaw clenched and sore. I'm furious, down to my bones, in a way I can't even articulate. I push past the boys and storm up the aisle. Random people tilt their heads toward me as I pass. They know I'm pissed. I always wear it on my face. I slide into an empty row near the back and squeeze my eyes shut. Hey, Garrett says, plopping down next to me. Bram sits beside him. I'm so angry, I say. Because of Morgan? Asks Garrett. I shrug, lips pressed tightly. Garrett and Bram exchange glances. She thinks Abby took her spot at Georgia? Garrett asks. I don't know, but she thinks Abby only got in because she's black, and that's bullshit. People think that a lot, Bram says softly. That's messed up, Garrett says. Yeah. You know, I didn't realize you and Suso were such good friends. I feel the heat rise in my cheeks. We're not. It doesn't matter. Jesus, I'm just saying it's racist. He props his hands up defensively. Okay. Okay, I huff back at him. Bram just watches us, not saying a word, which makes me even more self-conscious. I tug my dress down and stare at my knees. Maybe I could send a telepathic message backstage to the powers that be. Dear God and or Cal Price, please start this show now. Dim the lights so I can disappear. Garrett nudges me. So, did you get my texts? And fuck my life. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. My phone just... I trail off uselessly. No worries. Just wanted to hear what you thought of the game. God, I can't. I'm sorry. I should tell him, but I can't. I'm like an actual fuse. Overload me and I shut down. I guess Garrett's the hairdryer who pushes me over the limit. I lie. It was cool. Yeah, huh. If you forget about the first half. Mm-hmm. I nod vaguely. Where'd you run off to afterward? Bram pipes up. We missed you. Oh, my mom needed the car, so... I swallow. That sucks. Yep. The house lights dim. Thank God, thank God, thank God. The overture begins, and my whole body sighs. 9. Hours later, I'm in Simon's back seat, driving to Martin Addison's house, of all places. Who let him host this? I ask. I can't help but growl a little when I talk about Martin. Abby, sitting next to me, shrugs and shakes her head. I don't know, says Simon. He offered. We should have had our own party, Abby says. Can we just suck it up? Please? It's the last cast party. Simon's voice skids on the word last. He's never been good at endings. You okay? Bram asks softly. Simon pauses. Yeah. The light turns green, and Simon makes a left. Martin lives at the end of a cul-de-sac in one of those leafy neighborhoods off Creekside Drive. I've only been there once. It was freshman year for a history project. Me, Martin, and Morgan. And we chose one another, too. What a joke. No one talks for the rest of the ride. Bram fiddles with the music and Abby stares out the window, lips tightly pursed. I can't remember the last time I've seen her look so upset. And I know she hates Martin, but I can't help but wonder if it's more than that. Maybe Morgan said something to her. Martin's whole street is lined with cars, and it's almost dark when we get there. We pull in behind Garrett's minivan, which is parked but still running. He drove here with Nick. They turn off the car and step out when they see us. And wow, it's ridiculously cold out, especially in a cotton dress and a cardigan. I'll just say my out-of-this-world boobs are extra out-of-this-world tonight. We end up walking in twosomes. Nick and Garrett, Abby and Bram, Simon and me. It's weird that Abby and Nick aren't walking together. I lean towards Simon, close enough that our arms touch. Hey, is something up with Nick and Abby? Simon grimaces and shrugs. Yeah, I don't know. I talked to Nick for a minute earlier. I think they're fighting. About what? Well, Nick got into Tufts yesterday. Oh, wow. I know, he's psyched, Simon says. But then I guess he and Abby had the talk. The talk? The are we doing long distance or what talk. Oh, something tugs in my chest. Okay. Yeah, it didn't go well. I glance up at Abby, paces ahead of me, thoroughly bundled in an oversized cardigan. She's walking so close to Bram, you'd think they were conjoined. Okay, so translate that, I say quickly. Translate what? Didn't go well. What does that mean? Simon frowns. I don't know. Nick wants to stay together, but Abby doesn't want to do long distance. Oh, shit. Yeah. We walk in silence for a minute, almost at Martin's house. There's music coming from the basement, the soundtrack to Joseph. A little too on the nose for the Joseph cast party, in my opinion, but what do I know? I'm scared they'll break up, Simon says finally, his voice barely audible. I think it could ruin us. You and Bram? No. God, no, we're good. Simon smiles. No, I mean, us. He waves his hands around vaguely. Our group. Our posse. I snort. Our posse? I'm serious. What if there's drama and it gets weird and we have to go to prom in separate limos? Oh no, not separate limos. I try not to smile. Shut up. It would be sad and you know it. Aw, Spear! Why are you sad? Garrett bursts between us, hooking his arms around our shoulders. Don't be sad. We're about to walk into a party. Are you already drunk? I ask. No, he scoffs. I'm naturally like this. I actually believe that. You kidder, he says. He nudges Simon hard. She's such a kidder. She loves me. Did you know she came to the game on Saturday? My stomach drops. That's right, Spear. Leah Andromeda Burke picked my game over your play. And she wasn't there to see Greenfeld. I'm just saying. Andromeda? That's not your middle name? No. Now it is. He squeezes my shoulder. Leah Andromeda Burke. Yeah, he's already drunk. I don't know how he managed to do that walking from his car to Martin's house, but he did. It's in his voice, in his grin, on his breath. I tug his hand off my shoulder and walk straight to the doorstep, where Abby and Bram are waiting. Burke, wait up! How did he get drunk already? I ask Bram. He brought a flask in the car. He drove drunk? Oh no, he wouldn't do that. Apparently he and Nick drank it while they were parked. Of course they did. Abby rolls her eyes. That's so stupid. How are they getting home? Bram sighs. Probably me. There's a note taped to the door, written in loopy handwriting. Welcome, Egyptians and Canaanites. Venture down to the basement. Abby catches my eye and smiles faintly. I look quickly down at my feet. When I look up again, Simon, Garrett, and Nick have caught up to us on the stoop. Abby pushes the door open and walks straight inside. Martin's basement is huge. These Shady Creek houses are unreal. The Addisons aren't even rich. Not like, Jeeves shall show you into our parlor, rich. They're just the usual Shady Creek rich. 3 floors and flat screen TVs and a pinball machine in the basement. I'm guessing from the tiny sandwiches and ceramic plates that Martin's parents had a hand in setting this up. There are sophomores draped over the couches, legs over hands over laps. A couple of people are singing and dancing along with the Joseph soundtrack. Cal and Nora are tucked into an armchair, scrolling through his phone. I think Bram, Garrett, and I are the only non-theater people here. You guys came! Martin bounds over to us, kind of like a golden retriever, as insulting as that is to Bieber Spear. Okay, so people are just hanging out, and, let me know if there's anything you want. My mom can run to Publix. He pokes his elbow nervously and lowers his voice. And there's vodka. In the bathroom. In the bathroom? Simon raises his eyebrows. Yeah, it's, don't tell my parents. It's under the sink, behind the toilet bowl cleaner. It's the one in the vodka bottle. Don't drink the toilet bowl cleaner. The vodka is the one in the vodka bottle. Got it. Cool, Martin says. And for a minute, he just stands there nodding. Okay, so I'm gonna... Yeah. He walks away backward, almost knocking over a freshman. Then he turns back around, makes finger guns at Simon, and almost bumps into someone else. I swear to God, that kid should wear a protective rubber bumper and possibly water wings. I turn back to find Simon, but he's already settled onto a corner of the couch with Bram. Abby turns to me. You don't drink, do you? Nope. Right. Okay. But you'll come with me, right? To the bathroom? So I don't drink the toilet bowl cleaner. Out of the corner of my eye, I catch Garrett dropping it like it's hot to go, 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 Joseph. Nick's leaning against the wall nearby, flushed and smiling. He's talking to Taylor Metternich. Abby rolls her eyes. What an asshole. Come on. She grabs my hand and tugs it. Abby, this is weird. I don't even care, you know, she says as I follow her down the hallway. Like, I'm not even upset. He can do whatever he wants. Is this the bathroom? I think so. She tries the door, but it's locked. Someone's in there. Only Martin would put the booze in the bathroom. Let's just sit. She slides against the wall, landing cross-legged, and I settle in beside her. Legs straight ahead, pressed together. I should have worn jeans. She sighs, shifting toward me. I can't believe he's talking to her. Seriously, Taylor? God, what do I even say to that? Sorry, you and Nick aren't as perfect as everyone thinks you are. Taylor's annoying, I say finally. Yeah. She folds her legs up, hugs her knees, and tilts her head to look at me. Anyway, I heard you stood up for me today. The Morgan thing? Mm-hmm. Bram told me what happened. She smiles. You didn't have to do that. I mean, Morgan was being racist. Yep. But not everyone would have called her out, so... Abby shrugs. Thanks. There's a flutter in my stomach. I don't exactly feel like puking, but I don't not feel like puking. This is why I don't get close to Abby Suso. It always ends in nausea. I shift slightly to the right, putting an inch of space between us. Did she ever mention the tour thing? Abby asks after a moment. Yeah, I smile wryly. Guess that's not happening. Well, you and I could still go. Suddenly the bathroom door bursts open, and out stumble two juniors. They're flushed and draped all over each other, and something tells me vodka and toilet bowl cleaner aren't the only liquids we'll find in this bathroom. They have sex hair, Abby whispers. I know. Like, you can't do that in Martin Addison's bathroom. I am perturbed, aggrieved, disquieted. Hey, Morgan, guess who got an 800 on the SAT critical reading section? Abby locks the bathroom door behind us and kneels in front of the sink. I perch on top of the toilet seat. Did you really? Her mouth quirks. Yeah. Ugh. Sorry, I feel like I'm bragging. No, it's cool. She smiles up at me and shrugs. I don't know. Anyway, here's the vodka and there's Coke. Is vodka and Coke a thing? I have no idea. Clearly, Martin has no idea either. She rolls her eyes. You sure you don't want any? I'm sure. Okay, I'm just gonna... Abby tips some vodka into a red plastic cup, and then she fills the rest with Coke. She takes a sip and grimaces. Wow, this is gross. I'm sorry. She shrugs. Am I allowed to bring the cup out? I don't have to drink this in here, right? I mean, that would be weird. Yeah, but it's Martin. I laugh. Right. I tap the toes of my flats on the tiles, staring down. I feel awkward and strange. This is so unexpected. Alone with Abby Suso and Martin Addison's bathroom. I sneak a peek at her through my lashes. She's leaning against the bathtub now, back straight, pretzeled legs. Every time she sips her drink, her nose wrinkles. I've never understood the appeal of drinking. It's not like liquor tastes good. I mean, I know it's not about that. It's about feeling loose and light and unstoppable. Simon described it to me once. He said drinking lets you say and do things without filtering or overthinking. But I don't get how that's a good thing. Abby yawns. It's like, okay, he didn't apply anywhere in Georgia. That's fine, but that's where I'll be, and the closest he could be is North Carolina. And I'm sorry, but I don't want to stay home from parties because I'm expecting a call from my boyfriend. I don't want to miss out on college, you know? Sure, Abby. I totally know. My boyfriends are always trying to call me during parties. So many parties. Which I totally go to, because I love sitting in bathrooms watching other people drink. I should hate this. Why don't I hate this? Someone bangs on the door, and Abby hops to her feet. Just a minute! She chugs her drink. Oh my god, this is so gross. I'm literally going to vomit. I stand abruptly, pushing up the toilet lid. Not literally, literally. Come on, let's go. She takes my hand. We step out of the bathroom, and there's Garrett, blue eyes shining. He's acquired a party hat somehow, which he's wearing cocked to the side. He stares at our hands, and his mouth falls open. Oh my god. What? Oh my god. Not what you're thinking, Garrett. Ladies, wow. Okay, hear me out. I have an idea. Let's just all go back into the bathroom, and whatever happens... Nope, I say flatly. Abby releases me and twines both of her hands through Garrett's, peering up at him with doe eyes. Garrett, sweetie, she says, I will never, ever do that. Then she tugs her hands away and pats him firmly on his bicep. In front of you, she adds quietly, nudging him toward the bathroom. My stomach swoops. What? Garrett shrieks, eyes darting back and forth between us. You should. Do that in front of me. Okay? Please. Good. I have to pee. So go pee. I think my brain's made of jello. My thoughts won't stay in one place. She'd never do that. In front of Garrett. But maybe otherwise? How am I supposed to interpret that? We leave around 11. Garrett's a drunk mess, so Bram drives him home in the minivan, with Simon following behind. Then we all pile into Simon's car for a shit show of a ride. Simon and Bram take the front. Nora and I are basically on top of each other, squished between Nick and Abby, who aren't talking. It's the kind of silence that has its own gravity. Black hole silence. Simon tries to fight it with a steady stream of Simon babble, but after a few minutes, even he stops speaking. We pull into Bram's driveway, and Simon leans over the gear shift. They kiss softly and quickly, and Bram mouths something to Simon. Simon shakes his head, grinning. Abby calls shotgun as soon as Bram unbuckles his seatbelt. You sure you don't want to spend the night? Simon asks for the fifth time tonight. And normally I would. I don't care that it's Sunday. Simon lives so close to school that it would actually make my morning easier. But Abby's sleeping at Simon's tonight, and I've had enough Abby weirdness for one night. My mind reels through the last few hours. Morgan's blotchy red anger, lying to Garrett, Abby kneeling in front of the bathroom sink, Abby taking Garrett's hands, Abby saying never, but only never in front of Garrett. And I have no idea if she's kidding. 10. The second I step off the bus on Monday, Abby's in my face. Hey, she says casually, falling into step beside me. So, last night was weird. Yeah. I wince as soon as I say it. I have this problem sometimes where I sound bitchier than I mean to, and it's 1,000 times worse when it comes to Abby. Simon once asked me point blank why I dislike her so much. But here's the thing. I don't even dislike Abby. It's just that my brain doesn't work right around her. It doesn't help that she looks obnoxiously cute. Striped shirt tucked into a red skirt over tights, hair clipped back with bobby pins. She covers her mouth, yawning, and then catches my eye and grins. Okay, so I have a proposition for you, she says. Oh yeah? Mm-hmm. She tilts her head sideways and her eyes glint like she's about to make a joke. She's an inch or two shorter than me, and probably half my weight. Or not. I don't know. She's not actually that thin, just kind of trim and muscular. Mesomorph. That's the word I know from the magazines Mom leaves in the bathroom. So, this campus tour, she says when we get to my locker. I'm not going with my parents. Not doing it. Everyone brings their parents. She shakes her head. Not me. You sound very certain about that. I feel myself smiling. Do you want to come with me? She asks. Spring break. Any day. I can borrow my mom's car and drive us up there, and we can stay with my cousin's friend. It could be like a whole road trip. Like Simon and Nick? They wish they were coming on our trip. Because we'll get to go to parties and do whatever we want. It'll be amazing. We'll actually get a real idea of what it's like there. I look at her, speechless. Other than Martin Addison's bathroom, I don't think we've been alone in a room together for over a year. But suddenly Abby's talking like we're the kind of friends who go to parties and take selfies and split french fries at midnight. Am I losing my mind? Or not, she adds quickly. We don't have to go to parties. I seriously don't care. Totally up to you. So you want me to go with you to Athens, I say slowly. Then I realize my fingers are tapping at a drumbeat. On my locker. I let my hand fall. Yes. Why? What do you mean? I shake my head quickly, staring at my shoes. We're not... I shut my eyes. I'm not friends with Abby Suso. I'm not anything with Abby Suso. And to be honest, this whole thing is fucking me up a little. Obviously, I know you have to ask your mom and everything. I glance up in time to see Taylor charging toward me, hands clasped together like she means business. We'll talk, Abby says, the palm of her hand grazing my arm. Then she disappears up the stairs, like she was never here at all. So? Taylor says with a big, expectant smile. My eyes drift toward the staircase. What's up? I say half-heartedly. So, what did you think? What did I think? Of the play! Oh, I say. It was great. Congrats. Obviously, a few people could benefit from formal training, but overall it was good, right? And Nick was just so wonderful. She smiles. Hey, speaking of Nick... God, this girl. I don't think she knows the meaning of the word subtle. Like, if you're going to bust in talking about Nick and then segue into talking about Nick, it's going to be pretty goddamn clear that you want to talk about Nick. I just had this really cool thought, Taylor continues. So, like, everyone, oh my god, everyone, is telling me they love the way my voice and Nick's voice blend together. Like, so many people have told me they just got chills listening to us. She laughs. Isn't that funny? So funny. Anyway, she beams. I was thinking, what if Nick was in our band? I pause, narrowing my eyes. What? Like, we could add a harmony line to the lead vocals, or maybe even rework our set list to include some duets. And, obviously, he could play guitar. We have Nora. Right, of course. But what if we had 2 lead guitarists? I just think it would add this extra dimension to the sound, you know? And obviously having a guy in the band would add so much vocal range. Yeah, but we're an all-girl band. That's kind of the point. Taylor nods eagerly. Oh, totally. Like, I totally get that. But I was also thinking maybe it would be sort of cool to have, like, an all-girl band with a guy singer. You never see that. You always see an all-boy band with a girl singer. So this would be like a reversal, you know? I mean, holy shit. She's serious. She wants Nick in our girl band. So now I'm wondering how hard you can side-eye someone before your eyes stick that way. Permanent side-eye. It'll look great with my resting bitch face.